All right, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4, I'll begin reading at verse 1. You can follow with me in your Bibles, if you would. John, chapter 4, verse 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Let's bow for a word of prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for this trip that the Lord Jesus made. The Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. There was a meeting that had to take place, and he had to go there to meet this woman. Thank you, Lord, that there was a day in our lives where you went out of your way to meet us, to come to where we were, to find us, to tell us the truth, and save us by your grace through faith. Now, my Father, tonight as we look into the Word of God, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person to receive your Word. I pray you'd magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. I pray you'd give us that which we need, show us what we need to see, and help us along our way, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus, ever mindful of lost souls and their desperate need, chooses to travel through territory that Jews avoided at all costs, the area of Samaria. They looked at these Samaritans as beneath them and as half-breeds. But Jesus saw beyond their political, social, cultural, and religious barriers that proved so divisive with men and saw the spiritual need of those in Samaria. He was going to ignite a spiritual firestorm using one woman as the match. In John chapter 4, verse 39, it tells us that many of the people in the city believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saying of this woman. And then in verse 41, it says that many more believed because of the words of Christ himself. However, they came to hear his words because of her testimony. Many and more believers come to Christ because of one person's witness. How does it work? Well, someone told me, and I got saved. And then I witnessed to my wife, and she got saved. And then both of our daughters got saved. And as a result, my wife has led many to the Lord. My daughters have led many to the Lord. And then the many that were led to the Lord by them also led more. And on it goes. Praise the Lord. Now then, when the Lord's disciples saw him talking with this Samaritan woman, the Bible says that they said, it says that they marveled that he talked with the woman. They were thinking to themselves, what in the world is he doing talking to this Samaritan woman? What would cause him to do such a thing? And then verse 27 tells us that they did not ask the Lord, at least out loud. They were asking it in their own hearts, in their own minds. I'm afraid sometimes we do the same thing. We're asking questions in our heart and in our mind. Why is the Lord doing that? What in the world is he thinking? Why would he? He knows what he's doing. The Lord knew why he was there. And we know why he was there because it's been recorded in the scripture. The Lord Jesus went to Samaria because he knew that people were there. Number one, people were there. Number one, drawing from the world's well. Look at verses 11 and 12. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? I believe this well represents all that the world has to offer the starving souls of mankind. This was a physical well. And the world is preoccupied with the physical to its own peril. The well of the world is deep, and it's full of worldly water, worldly which never satisfies, but only for a moment. Jesus speaks to this woman of spiritual things in verse 10, but all she can think about is this well. Jesus doesn't need a well. Because he is the well. He was that rock that followed Israel through the desert and provided an abundance of water for them. All this woman could see was the mystique of this well because of who dug it and who drank from it. Jacob. Jacob built this well. Jacob drank out of this well. Now, I've been to this very well. Jacob's well. In Israel, I drank from Jacob's well. And as Jesus said, I've had to drink water time and again since. It was kind of cool to think that Jacob one day stood where I did. And it was kind of cool to think that Jacob one day drank from that same well that I'm drinking of. But it didn't change my life. It's just a well. It's just water. This woman failed to see the living water from the living well, the Lord Jesus, because she was fixated on the physical water and the physical well. The Lord Jesus went on to break through to her heart and mind with the truth, and she believed, and she would have never drawn from his well if he had not stopped that day. But that's how the world's well is. The world's well is full of things that distract us from the living water. Popular things, famous things, impressive things. The world uses things that appeal to the lust of the eyes, things that appear beautiful, valuable, and desirable to the human nature. In the world's well, you're going to find worldly wisdom and worldly knowledge and worldly education, and worldly philosophies. In the world's well, you're going to find worldly science, falsely so called often. You'll find worldly books and worldly entertainment. In the world's well, you're going to find worldly remedies for man's sin, like prisons and rehabilitation and therapies and programs. You'll find worldly endeavors to keep you busy and worldly causes to keep you broke. The Bible even tells us the truth of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The world's well is deep and full of worldly water that seems to satisfy, but only temporarily. That's why there always has to be something new. That's why there always has to be something improved. Some new thing. Because the things of the world never satisfy. But when a person comes to Christ, he satisfies. Why? Because he never changes. And his word never changes. His truth never changes. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Listen, I kept going to the world's well when I was unsaved. I went to the world's well and I found tobacco and I found alcohol and I found dope and I found porno and I found rock music and high energy jazz. I went to the world's well and got involved in ghost hunting and UFOs and pyramid energy, and none of it satisfied. I went to the world's well and I drank its religion and its philosophies and its theories and its politics and its stuff, and none of it satisfied. But the day that Jesus came and found me, like he did the woman of the well, and he opened my eyes to the reality of who he is and what he did and that I needed him, I received him as Savior, and I have been satisfied ever since. I haven't been looking anywhere else. When you come to Jesus Christ and you drink of that living water, you don't have to ask, is there something better? You don't have to ask, is there something more satisfying? You don't have to ask if there's something I want more than this, because he satisfies. I stopped looking when Jesus came and found me. But many Christians find themselves in trouble when they continue to go back to the world's well to drink instead of drawing upon the Lord Jesus and the living water. I'm telling you, you don't need psychology books, and you don't need how-to books unless you're going to fix furniture or something. Here's what you need: the living word, the living water from the living well. Many of our Christian Gen Xers and Gen Zers, what are we going to do? What's after Gen Z? Oh, we are in the last times. We done did the whole alphabet. Now we're down at the end. Amen? And the problem with the millennials, that they're drawing from the world's well because they have not been properly weaned from the world's well and fed with the living water of God's word. The reason there's so many mixed up Christians today is because they're drawing from the world's well instead of going to God, instead of going to the Lord Jesus and drawing from his well. And this is the fruit of the baby boomers, because the baby boomers were the ones who started to move away from the truth toward the well of the world. Jesus knew that there were people in Samaria drawing from the world's well. But number two, in verses 19 through 25, he knew that there were people in Samaria worshiping at the world's sites. Look at verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. I'm looking forward to that day. Matter of fact, that day is right now, isn't it? We're not in Jerusalem, are we? And we're not in the mountain, are we? But we're worshiping the Lord. Look what he says in the next verse. Ye worship, ye know not. What? We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you've heard the phrase situation ethics. Well, I call this situation religion. That is, the Samaritans had their own religion. They picked their own way to worship God. The Samaritans had built a temple at Mount Gerizim to rival the one in Jerusalem. And you know, the world offers many religions and cults and isms and sites to provide salty water for the soul that can never satisfy. And therefore, the drinkers thereof must come back again and again and never get satisfied. The world offers religions. You know, there's a religion of some kind to trap anyone. I don't know much about it anymore, but back in the 80s, there was a cult named The Way. And The Way thought that smoking and drinking and immorality were okay because they have been forgiven. Isn't that weird theology? Well, since I'm forgiven, hey, let's party. Then there was the Children of God cult, and they used what they called flirty fishing and used young women to lure men into their group. There was a church that met called St. Matthew's Party, and they met in bars. Another group was the rock climbing church, and they would have church while they were climbing the mountains. Another church was called the surf church, and they would meet down at the beach in their bathing suits and bikinis and surf a while and worship a while and surf a while and worship a while. There was a church that was called the clown church, and everybody would dress up as clowns to worship God. Scientology is an outgrowth of science fiction novel by L. Ron Hubbard. Can you imagine that? What's your book? Well, we have the Word of God. What's your book? Well, we have a science fiction book. World religions by the basketful. You can pick and choose and change. Whatever you don't like, just make it up. That's worldly religions. But then there are holy places. The world has holy places. Places, you know, the world's covered with what are called holy places. Jacob's Well is one of those. But there's nothing holy about it. Now, it surely is historical, but it's not a holy site. The only thing holy at Jacob's Well are the Christians that visit there. Israel is covered with Catholic holy places. Peter's mother-in-law's house has a church built over top of it. And when we went to see the Nativity, it's a holy place. And it's so disappointing that you don't even, it's almost not even worth looking at. It's filled with tapestries and smoke and gold and a big thing that's put in the ground and all this. It's just holy site. You can go to the Jordan and you can buy Jordan water in a little bottle, Jordan River water. You can go to the Jordan River and buy Jordan sand in a little bottle. You buy pieces of the cross. They've sold so many pieces of the cross that they must have been able to make about 1,000 crosses by now. They even had to put barriers around the tree in the Garden of Gethsemane so people wouldn't pick it off, kill it. They had to put barriers around steps that they know that Jesus walked on at one time because people were breaking chips of the steps off so they could take them home. I mean, I even was with a Baptist preacher when we were on over there, and he's buying a bottle of Jordan water. I said, what are you going to do with that? He said, I'm going to take it home and put it in my baptistry. I said, what for? I mean, you're going to leave it in there? I mean, only the one a couple people get baptized with that? You've got to drain it sooner or later, right? So everybody else gets gypped. You're going to have people in your congregation. I got baptized with that, and they had Jordan water in it. What about you? And it's like, I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, Apollos. Every religion has holy places. Every country has holy places. When we were in Japan, we saw temples with smoke. We saw little roadside gods for people to stop and worship along the way. But you can visit every holy site on planet Earth, and it will not satisfy the longing of your soul. Add to this the world's religious creeds. I remember before I was saved, I went to church and we said the Apostles' Creed. How many of you went to a church and had to repeat their Apostles' Creed? What is the Apostles' Creed? We didn't know what it was either. We just said it, right? And we also said the Our Father. How many of them said the Our Father? I didn't know what it meant. We just said it. The world has religious creeds and vain and repetitious prayers and false scriptures, and they don't satisfy. You can say the Our Father and the Hail Mary as many times as you want. It will not satisfy. You can have the Apostles' Creed tattooed on your forehead. It will not satisfy. Add to this the world's relics and icons and statues and amulets and good luck charms and even jewelry that's supposed to ward off evil and bring protection and blessing, and none of them satisfy. The world's trinkets. You see, the world has its own religion, its own well. The thing is, Christians get caught up in this folderol. I remember, again, on that particular trip that I went with a bunch of preachers, and we went into the Dome of the Rock. Why would we go into the Dome of the Rock? Because it's a historical site. We just wanted to go in. It was part of the tour. So we go in the Dome of the Rock, and I see this Baptist preacher kneeling down and praying. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, God ought to hear me even better here." What? I almost smacked him. We went to the Wailing Wall. And the Jews have a tradition, and they go there and they pray, and then they write scripture and they write little prayers and they stick them in the cracks of the wall. And I looked over and there was a Baptist preacher sticking a little piece of paper in a wall. I mean, what is the matter with us? That's what the world does. That doesn't satisfy. I think of modern Christian worship that caters to the flesh with light shows, rock music, dancing, and loose standards. I even saw a couple of videos of churches, and they have what we used to call go-go girls. How many remember go-go girls? They were girls that hardly had any clothes on, and they'd get in these little glass cages and metal cages and dance provocatively. Churches with go-go girls on the platform as part of the service. Of course, they justify it, just like the Samaritans did. See, the Samaritans said, well, our father said you should worship in Samaria, here, Gerizim. Doesn't matter what your forefather says, it matters what God says. Of course, I've told you about the oil of prosperity. Guy came into the ministry one day and he had this little bottle of oil. I said, "What you got there?" Wasn't a member of the church. It was the library ministry. And a guy came in and I said, "What you got there?" He said, "Oh, this is holy anointing oil." I said, "Ooh, tell me about it." He said, "Yeah, we had this guy come to our church and he's preaching. He's got this holy anointing oil. And he said that we should take this oil and anoint things. And if we anoint them, we'll get them." He said, he told us to anoint our wallet and money will appear in our wallet. He said, if you're going down the street and you see a car, anoint it and God will give it to you. I said, give me that. I'm going down the bank. I'm messing around with no wallet, no car. I mean, how foolish, right? That's the world's foolishness. Then there's a guy named Peter Popoff. A long time ago, he used to have miracle spring water. And people, if you get this miracle spring water, people would get healed. He was saying people would receive checks for $30,000 in the mail and get jobs and everything else because you have Peter Popoff's holy, what's it called? But I say, miracle spring water. Yes, sir, get your miracle spring water. We want to build a $5 million building. I'm going to start selling spring water, miracle spring water. You know what Jesus said? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Isn't that nice when you come to Jesus? And after you have Christ, you just go, you know, you were running around and doing all this and trying all that, and you're all, you know, never being satisfied. And then you come to Christ and you trust Him as your Savior, and you can go, I can rest. I don't have to do that anymore. The world has all kinds of holy sites and holy people and holy things to distract mankind from the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verses 21 through 24, what Jesus said to this woman. He says, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. Oh, how many people today are doing that? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, God's a spirit. That's why you need to be born of the Spirit. God is a spirit. That's why we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus went to the well because He knew there were people drawing from the world's well. Number three, in verses 28 and 29, we have leaving the world's water pot. Look at verse 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the what? The Christ. The world also provides a multitude of useful, legitimate, and needful and proper things. But if we're not careful, these things, these luxuries, these conveniences can get in the way of seeing God. I find it interesting that the woman ran into the city to tell everyone about Jesus, and she left behind her water pot. I mean, that's the whole reason she came out there, right? Why would God mention such a mundane detail as this woman leaving behind her water pot? Who really cares about this water pot? Because He wanted us to know that she left her water pot. He wanted us to see that she left her water pot. The water pot was something valuable to her. It cost her money to purchase it. It cost her effort to carry it. And it had usefulness in drawing water from the well. And all of a sudden, that which was before so valuable is no longer as valuable now that she knows Jesus. I believe we all have water pots. Things that keep us from going and telling others about Christ. Things that keep us occupied with them instead of being occupied with the Father's business, with the will of God. Things like careers. I'm not against careers. But you're not on earth as a born-again Christian to be successful in a career. I hope you are successful in your career. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. You're on earth to serve the Lord and to glorify God and to witness for Christ. Right. Now you have a career so you can make money, and you have a career so you can feed your family. But don't let it become a water pot that keeps you from serving God. Things like overtime. I'm sorry, preacher, I can't come Sunday nights because I got to work overtime. I'm just saying this because it's true. But when I got saved, after I got saved, I never, ever worked overtime. That kept me away from church. And I had a lot of overtime that I could have made a lot of extra money. But recreation. Maybe our own homes become a water pot while the house of God needs some attention. It could be possessions, hobbies, collections, Facebook. Some of y'all spend too much time on Facebook. I'm telling you right now. You say, how do you know how much time I spend? Because of all the stuff you send me. And I'm saying, you know, here's how I do Facebook. If I watched and listened and read everything you guys sent me on Facebook, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd still be in my office trying to figure out, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? How about TV? And other things that provide a form of drawing from the water, the world's well. To the neglect of Bible reading and prayer and church attendance and serving and laboring and giving and soul winning. These are the things that enable us to draw from the Lord's well. How about this? After school activities to keep children out of church. Sports programs that keep children away from youth groups. It's a water pot. Not worth it. I mean, when this lady was getting ready to run in the city and tell the people about Jesus, somebody could have said, hey, what about your water pot? Forget it. I'm in too much of a hurry. If it's there when I get back, I'll get it. But sometimes we're more concerned about going back and getting that water pot and being burdened down with that water pot than we are doing what God wants us to do. There are causes, good though they may be, that take time and money away from the local church. I know the causes. There's a lot of causes that touch my heart. But the world will take care of those causes. There's a cause the world will not help with. It's called the gospel cause. Let the world take care. What did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. Let the world take care of the worldly causes. I know. I know the puppies and the kitties are starving to death with chains wrapped around their neck and they're hooked up to this and hooked up to that. Yeah, those are good photos. But don't you think the world's going to take care of that? The world ain't going to take care of church. Boy, it's quiet. Some of you look pretty hard. But then God told Ezekiel, fear not their faces. Some people, like the 12 disciples, the Lord calls to leave their nets, their occupations that feed their families and pay their bills and go into the full-time ministry by faith. But I believe that the Lord calls each and every Christian to leave behind some water pot to serve Him and witness for Him. I don't know if this woman ever got her water pot back, but I don't think she much cared about it. For what she got in return was worth more than 1,000 water pots. The reward of seeing her neighbors and her friends and her family members saved. Seeing them have, what did she get? She got a new life. She got a life of peace and joy and righteousness. You know what she got? She got a new reputation and a new crowd to run with and a new destination. Amen. And I suspect she got a well done from the Lord Jesus. Let's be careful about drawing from the world's well. Let's be careful about worshiping at the world's sites. And let's be willing to leave the world's water pots all to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, dear Christians, have you become guilty of drawing from the world's well instead of the Lord's well? Where do you get your wisdom? Your knowledge, your philosophy of life? Have you become guilty of worshiping at the world's sites by falling prey to the modern era's false spirituality and watered down and dumbed down Christianity? Is there a water pot or two that you need to leave so that you can go and serve the Lord and witness of who He is? and what he's done for you? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved, never been born again. You might be watching or listening. Listen, the world's well will never satisfy your desires, and the world's religions will never satisfy your soul. The Lord Jesus gave this woman at the well the living water of life freely. She did not leave her water pot to get saved. She left it because she got saved. She started out her day in an ordinary way, but along the way, she met the Lord Jesus, and he changed not only her life, but her eternity. She was born again, just like Jesus said in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. She was born again. She was saved, just like it says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, tonight you need to draw from the well of living water, the Lord Jesus Christ, and never thirst spiritually again. Revelation 22 says this, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is offering you living water tonight. He wants you to drink from him. He's the living well with the living water. He wants you to believe on him and see that he's the Christ, just like this lady did, the Savior of the world. Maybe there's someone here in this room tonight that would say, preacher, I need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and save my soul. I want to take of that living water so that I can have living water in me that springs up to life everlasting. I want to be saved and go to heaven. And I need to ask Jesus to be my Savior right now in my seat. Would you lift your hand and say, that's me, I'm right here. Put it up now so I can see it. You don't want to leave without trusting Christ as your Savior, because tomorrow could be eternally too late. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for sending Jesus to us. We thank you for the living water that brings eternal life. And Father, I just pray that everyone in this room has drank from that well of the Lord Jesus by faith. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help us to set aside our water pots that it before seemed so important, so valuable, but in light of eternity, don't seem so important. I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help us to be witnesses and tell our friends and family and neighbors and co-workers about Jesus. I pray you'd help us to be obedient, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 579, I Surrender All. Maybe there's something the Lord's asking you to surrender about. Maybe there's somebody he's put on your heart and on your mind that he wants you to go tell. You say, oh, I'm afraid. Take all your courage in both hands. Get prayed up. Go forward. God will give you the grace. Maybe you need to come up front today with that person's name on your heart. And in their face in your mind and say, Lord, this is the person I need to talk to. Maybe you've got a water pot you've got to let go of. It's holding you back. It's that weight that holds you back. Why don't you come tonight and say, Lord, here's my water pot. Whatever it might be. If you want to be saved, if you have questions about going to heaven, meet me at the front. We'll help you.